Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3, that's star 3, on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Hey, Hugh, thanks very much, and thanks to everybody who's made the decision to participate in tonight's call. I'm sorry that we're starting so late at 8:30 in the evening, but we're a lot of our colleagues are doing lots of these telephone town halls, and sometimes this is the only space that's available on the grid. So just bear with us and just hang in there, and the hour goes by very fast. We're talking about the focus this evening is on financial resources during the coronavirus pandemic, all right? The question that everybody's asking is how do I get my economic impact check or coronavirus check? How do I navigate the unemployment compensation system and make sure that I'm applying and make sure I'm on the list, make sure that I'm in the right category? How do folks get access to small business support? Both at the city, the state, and the federal level. And we've got someone on from the federal government this evening can talk about the major program that they have there. And we're talking about, as I said, your coronavirus check. We're talking about your small business assistance support. We're talking about unemployment compensation. But we always make sure that we want to talk about the healthcare issues of the coronavirus. It is a massive, invasive, very hard to beat disease, very hard to beat virus, but we can win on this, and these calls are part of our effort to beat it down, to beat back, and to win and come out of this strong. The format's going to allow you to listen in, ask a few questions, and make sure to ask a question. If you want to ask a question, press star 3 on your phone. Press star 3 on your phone. Hugh, I think I've covered just about all of the basic logistics. I'm going to begin by introducing our guests. And each one of our guests, when they're introduced, well, I'll say your name, just say hi to everybody and who you are and maybe the one thing that you want folks to think about as they're dealing with this coronavirus situation, and then we'll get into the dialogue. All right? Our doctor is from Penn Medicine, Dr. Priscilla Impose. Dr. Impose, thank you so very much. Dr. Impose, silent on that M, okay? Dr. Impose, thank you so very much for joining us on the call tonight. Appreciate you. Say hi to all my folks.
Great. Thank you, Senator Hughes, for having me. Good evening, everyone. Again, I'm Dr. Priscilla Posse, both with Penn Medicine and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. My primary practice is in the heart of the city at 48th and Market. I offer an urgent care physician both in Montgomery County and Delaware County. And so, like you all, I'm going to be getting a lot of great information from our experts on financial aspects. I'm also available to answer any questions that you may have on health and wellness and staying safe during this time near the end. So, again, Senator Hughes, thank you for having me and looking forward to the discussion.
Dr. Posse, thank you so very much. Appreciate you. Thank you. To help us deal with issues around small business support is Karen Lockhart-Fegley. She's the Deputy Commerce Director for the City of Philadelphia. Karen, welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Senator. Glad to
All
be
right.
here. At the Commerce Department, our work every day is about making Philadelphia a business-friendly city where companies choose to start, stay, and grow. And my unit is particularly focused on neighborhood business services, making sure that our neighborhoods are friendly to businesses, that we help small entrepreneurs and build community wealth. Obviously, at this time, we are focused on relief and recovery for our small businesses here in Philadelphia. So we are doing everything from providing a relief grant program to very small businesses, advocating for more relief funds on other government and private levels. And we have a business services line to help businesses and with any questions they have about operating and resources. And most of our, all of our information is available and on the city's website at www.phila.gov.
Great, Karen.
I'm happy to answer any questions as we're here. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so very much. Also joining us tonight is Rob Goza. Rob is the lead economic development specialist with the Small Business Administration for the Eastern Pennsylvania District for the federal government. Rob, thanks for joining us tonight. Say hi to everybody and give them that one quick message that you want them to know.
Well, it's a pleasure to be virtually with you all this evening. Thanks so much for hosting us. We're going to get into the current situation with the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, the Paycheck Protection loan program, and some of the other things that SBA is providing to small businesses to help them during this particular time.
Great. Thanks, Rob. Thank you very much. Everyone is asking about their coronavirus economic impact payment or their coronavirus check. Everyone is asking about that. To help us answer those questions, we've got Richard Furlong, who's the IRS communications liaison. Rich, thanks for joining us this evening. Appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Hughes. It's a pleasure to be here, and you are absolutely correct. The IRS in the past 3 weeks has pivoted the entire agency to building a platform and delivering over the coming months about 150 million economic impact payments, or as they're commonly referred to in the press, the stimulus payments. So we put a lot of effort into that. As we were discussing before the call opened up, a lot of effort has gone in to building our website so that all Americans can get information on the economic impact payments or the stimulus payments. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope to be able to answer as many questions as possible on how this program will proceed in the coming months, Senator. So thank you.
Great. Rich, thank you so very much. Appreciate you taking out Thursday evening to give to us. Appreciate it very much. And finally, our finally guest is a friend of a long time, and I won't mention how long, but a guy who is the Secretary of Labor and Industry for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I guess the question that the other question that folks are asking about so very much is in the unemployment compensation space and everything that goes into that whole category. Jerry Alexiak, thanks for joining us so much, Jerry. Appreciate you. Say hi to the folks and that thing that you want to stick in their mind, sir.
Well, how are you? It's good to speak with you as always. Let me start by saying I am a constituent. I'm honored to be speaking to my fellow constituents. I guess one thing I'd like to say, there's a lot of feedback. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. In the 3 weeks, 4 weeks since the mitigation efforts began in Pennsylvania, we have had 1.4 million new unemployment claims. So we have been very, very busy responding to the to just a tremendous number of claims that we are getting. In addition to the regular program that we are running, our regular unemployment compensation program, we are also overseeing the unemployment aspects of the Federal CARES Act. That's where the extra $600 comes in, where the extended benefit comes in, and where the benefits for people who are not traditionally eligible for unemployment, self-employed, gig workers, 1099s, independent contractors. So we have been very busy. I'm joined tonight by Susan Dickinson, who is our policy director at Unemployment Compensation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Secretary, thank you. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you jumping on, and thanks for choosing not to leave my senatorial district, all right? Appreciate that. Dr. Posse, we're going to start with you. What is, I people are talking, I'm hearing a lot of conversation about folks who want to kind of start backing off. That's the feeling I'm getting, to start, kind of start backing off of the healthcare restrictions and opening up businesses and open up work and all that kind of stuff. And I certainly understand the need to the anxiety, desire that people have to want to go back to work, the anxiety from staying home so long and all that kind of stuff. But we got to be careful about the healthcare challenge in that space. And I think I need you to speak to the healthcare aspect that still exists and what coronavirus really means when it strikes you and grabs you physically and what that impact is like. Because as I understand it, it's really strong in your respiratory system and you really got to be careful about it. Why should people really remain extra concerned about the healthcare aspects of the coronavirus?
Yeah, Senator, that's a great question, and I can certainly understand how many, if not all, residents are saying, you know, I haven't gotten sick, I'm not feeling any symptoms, my family and friends that I know are also doing well, so it looks like we can return. And something that we really have to think about is that here in Philadelphia, the number of cases are still going up, and we anticipate for the peak of those cases to still occur within 1 to 2 weeks. And so, of course, as you said, Senator, health is paramount, right? So we want to ensure that we're healthy enough to be back at work, healthy enough to return to school, healthy enough to get back into the community. So why COVID is different than the viruses that we know that may cause the flu or cause the common cold is that if you come into contact with COVID, you may not have any symptoms until 14 days. Right, so that's 2 weeks until you can show symptoms, where with other viruses, it's about 2 to 3 days. So you may have the potential when you go back to work or go back to school to continue to infect other people. The other aspect is there are some persons who may come into contact and be infected with COVID who show no symptoms at all. And so the reason why we have the stay-at-home in place is to make sure that we're getting to a point, I'm sure many of you have heard this, flattening the curve, right? We want to flatten the curve enough where those who have been infected are getting sick are getting proper treatment in the hospital and not passing that on to other people. So until we hit that peak, it's really important for us to stay home. And so, you know, as you also, Senator Hughes, symptoms that when you think about, we all get fever, we all get cough, we may all get runny nose, but it's really that long cough and shortness of breath that may lead to some respiratory distress, may lead you to be hospitalized, that we get really concerned about COVID. And so we have to treat this as a severe disease rather than a common cold. So many of our government officials, our health departments are looking at to a point where we've flattened that curve and less people are presenting with cases, and then we may get to a point where we can start to open our businesses and open our schools. So we're not there yet, but the positive is that we are seeing that not as many people each day and each week are getting infected.
That's good. That's good information. Good information. Thank you, Dr. Potse. Appreciate that. Hugh, you want to start opening up the line and pull some of these economic questions that we have here?
Oh, absolutely. We have lots of folks that want to talk to you and all your guests this evening. But before we do, just a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any one of his guests this evening, you press *3. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, let's go. Our first call tonight, let's go to Nick. Nick, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hello, Senator Hughes. Thanks for doing this. And hello, guests. Thanks for being here. I'm a small business owner here in Philadelphia, a landscaping company, and I was approved for the payroll protection plan loan last Friday. As today, I hear that the program has run out of money. Being I was approved last Friday, will I still be eligible for the money, or am I going to have to wait for another vote?
Rob, Karen, what do you think? I'll try you off.
I'll be happy to take this one.
Okay.
So far.
If you've got an approval number, you're good. That's the short, sweet, simplest answer I can give you. It is true that both the emergency, the economic injury disaster loan program and the paycheck protection program loans have the appropriations from Congress have run out. We're waiting to see if they're going to make additional appropriations for that. But in the meantime, those queues have basically stopped. But if you've got an approval, an approval notice, you will be getting those funds. I will say this, though. This is hands down the biggest thing that my agency had taken on in its history. I think there are probably plenty of agencies that could say the same thing who have different pieces of this. But my agency has processed more than 14 years worth of loans in less than 14 days.
Wow.
So just to give you an idea of what's going on here, the Paycheck Protection Program is probably going to save millions of jobs, and it's designed to help small businesses make it through this challenging time. And the EIDL program is also providing some much-needed relief to sustain businesses and their employees. But you should expect that there will be some longer than anticipated times to disbursement of funds just because of the incredible volume that we're dealing with here. I can't give you a timeline for how soon it's going to be, but I can tell you that everybody in my agency is working as hard and as fast as we can to get as much assistance out the door to small businesses as we can.
Great. So basically, Rob, if you got a number, you should be good to go.
Can I ask one more question, Rob?
Go ahead, Nick.
Sure.
If I end up, I've brought my people back to work, and I have no income yet from bringing them back to work. They were initially on unemployment. If I had to tap line of credit to payroll, is that something I can put back into the payment protection plan, the payroll protection plan?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you
If I use monies from a business line of credit that I have to pay my people because I brought them back to work, will I be able, there's like a forgiveness for payroll? Will that be eligible for that, do you know?
So the way that the program is structured, you have to use 75% of the funds from the proceeds from that loan for payroll.
Okay.
As long as you're using 75% of that money for payroll, and you can of that loan amount for payroll, and you're documenting that, and you can show that, the loan should be forgiven.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the answer. I appreciate it.
All right, Nick, you good?
I'm good, Senator Hughes. Thank you, sir.
All right, my man, Nick. Karen, do you have anything to add to what Rob put out there?
No, Rob's got that. All those federal resources are going through SBA and the banks. So
okay, that's great. Very good. All right, Hugh, we got another one?
All right. Nick, thank you very much for your call. Senator, let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hello, Senator Hughes. How are you? Good evening to everyone.
Thank you.
I have a question about the stimulus, about the coronavirus checks, as they're being called. I currently under audit, and my refund was being withheld or frozen because of documentation that needed to be provided. When you go into the website, when I put in my Social Security number and my information, it tells you that I'm eligible. But when it comes to the amount of which my AGI, I don't know if I'm supposed to put what I have put in through my amendment that's being questioned, or do I put in the original amount because the system keeps kicking me out.
Richard, is that you? I think that's you, Richard.
It is definitely my question. So this is Richard Furlong again with the IRS Stakeholder Liaison. And that is a great question because it touches on a number of issues. So just to clarify from the senator's constituent, which year is under examination or review, which year's tax return is under review by IRS? Is it 2018? 2018. And have you filed your 2019 taxes, ma'am?
No, not yet.
Okay. So was the 2018 return filed last year? And,
yes.
And just, okay, and we just now selecting it for review for whatever reason. Normally, the way the computer system is set up, and remember, since the law was passed and signed into by the president on March 27th, over the past 3 weeks, the IRS, at the direction of Treasury and the Congress, has had to build a computer system by which we can go back and look at the original tax returns filed for 18 and for those Americans who filed their 2019 return, which is probably about 60% of all of the 2019 returns we've received, go back and look at either of those 2 years, the most recent year actually filed, and determine if the income is under a certain amount based on your filing status. So for example, for individuals, that income amount would be $75,000. For couples, it would be $150,000. If you're under that amount of, mm-hmm. of income, even if there's an adjustment as a result of an exam, we should pick up that you are eligible for, we'll call it a stimulus payment, without you having to do anything, without you having to go to that website, check, get my payment, and check on it. So the first batch of stimulus payments are going out this week. I don't have any hard numbers, but what I've heard is that it will be as many as 50 million payments going out. And these will be the payments that, based on the most recent tax return filed, which is either 2018 or 2019, if you are a U.S. Citizen or permanent resident, you have a valid Social Security number, you're not a dependent of another taxpayer, and your income is under those amounts, mm-hmm. our computer system should automatically, and this is very important for the first batch, you had direct deposit information for your tax return for either 18 or 19, and that bank account is still open, we will automatically drop in the stimulus payment. It'll be $1,200 for individuals, $2,400 for couples, and for those taxpayers with dependent children under the age of 17, an additional $500. Now, that's how it should work. So I would not encourage you right now to spend time going back into that Get My Payment tool, which we just rolled out actually yesterday on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we got a tremendous, not surprisingly, millions of taxpayers are going in and trying to sort through that. I would give it a little time. We will be sending out letters to within 2 weeks of every economic impact payment, i.e. stimulus payment, we send out over the coming weeks. And this will be on a rolling basis. So I don't believe that as long as your income is under those amounts I said for your filing status,
yeah,
irrespective of any results of the audits, you should not be delayed in getting your stimulus payment, ma'am.
Yes. Now, my other question is, because the last time in which we received a refund, we received a paper check. So will you be one of those people to get a paper check?
Well, that's a great question because normally you will. Now, here's where the Get My Payment tool could help you, because
okay.
Think of the Get My Payment tool as the opportunity to, just like the feature on IRS.gov that we have every year, Get My Refund for the normal refund.
Absolutely.
We put up this
Absolutely.
New tool yesterday, Get My Payment, but it does allow those who have filed an 2018 or 2019 return and who did not have direct deposit information on those returns to go in, and after they authenticate their identity, because we don't want the cyber criminals posing as you, authenticate your identity, input current direct deposit information. So that might be a reason why in the coming days and even the coming weeks, because you will not be at the head of the line to get the stimulus payment if you do not have a direct deposit bank account information for a refund you got in 18 or 19. So yeah, you may want to go back in And maybe I would suggest maybe waiting until next week when the use of that Get My Payment tool may subside a bit, and see if you can input your direct deposit information.
Jennifer, thank you very much for your call. And Richard, thank you. Thank you again. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. Let's go to Sherry. Sherry, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. My question is for the doctor. I wanted to know what is any aftercare there is for people that have tested positive for the coronavirus, have taken the antibiotics, have been quarantined, and all the recommended medical advice. What happens after this to any of us?
This is Dr. Pazzi. That is a great question, and I'm going to address two aspects. You mentioned aftercare and then the mention of antibiotics. So there's two approaches to that. There are many people who do test positive that are able to stay at home and manage their symptoms with supportive care. So it's treating the fever with Tylenol and making sure they're well, eating well, drinking lots of fluid. Their general check afterwards is calling in to their physician and letting them know that their symptoms have been resolved. And then we're still encouraging them to remain quarantined for 7 to 14 days to ensure that they're not passing the virus on to someone else. So that is the first aspect. For those who are hospitalized and then are discharged home, their follow-up is a little bit more day-to-day, following to make sure that their fevers are coming down, and then that will require whether they're calling in or a nurse is calling in to check on them and their symptoms as well. And so, again, it would be the same in terms of when you're discharged from home, following in with your healthcare provider to make sure that your symptoms are going on the right path and fully resolving. Now, for those who have underlying medical conditions, whether that be heart disease, diabetes, asthma, those are patients who generally are hospitalized, it would be continuing care of that illness as well to make sure that, again, you are in overall better health and following up with your medical provider. We are not recommending for people to come to their clinic or to the hospital once they've been discharged, again, to limit exposure, but to use the phone call to talk to a nurse or their provider about symptoms. With regards to antibiotics, not all patients are being treated with an antibiotic. It is patient-dependent, and so for those who are treated with that, they do have certain follow-up with their provider. You know, it really depends on how severe the illness is, and then, again, if it's working in that patient. And so, again, that's a great question of what do we do after. It's the same measures of making sure that you are protecting not only yourself, but those that might be in your family or colleagues to make sure that you are self-quarantining 7 to 14 days after. But ultimately, what that is being in contact with your provider, being in contact with the nurse to make sure that your symptoms have fully resolved.
Sherry, thank you very much for your call. Senator, let's go to Linda. Linda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Thanks, Linda. Hey, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. What you got for us tonight?
I want to first thank you for taking my question, and thanks to the guests. I'm Linda Wilson, and my husband's name is Peter Wilson. He knows you.
I just texted Peter today. Tell him he's all right. Tell him I got him covered, all right?
He got you covered. My question is regarding a senior citizen. I have a mother-in-law. She's 93 years old, and she did not file her taxes actually in 2018 at all. Is she eligible for a stimulus check? She only gets Social Security. That's it.
Okay. Richard?
Certainly. And this is a very important question because there are many seniors who their sole source of income or their primary source of income are Social Security benefits and who are not required to file a federal tax return each year because Social Security benefits are not taxable as long as you don't have any other income. So what we have done in the past 2 weeks is working with the Social Security Administration, identified those seniors who each year, going back to at least 2018, and 2019, as long as they started receiving Social Security benefits in prior years or no later than 2019, and for whom the Social Security Administration sends to the senior that form every year. It's called a 1099 SSA, and they send a copy of that to IRS. We have sufficient information to identify their eligibility for a stimulus payment, and they do not have to do anything. Fortunately, most seniors do get their monthly Social Security checks through direct deposit. So we will be depositing the stimulus payment, which for those folks will be $1,200, with one caveat here. As long as that senior living on their Social Security benefits, not filing a tax return, is not a dependent of another individual, then they should get the $1,200 without having to do anything. That's a great question, because the way this program is structured under the law, there are a significant number of Americans who don't have a federal tax filing requirement who are eligible for the stimulus payments. And the Social Security recipients, those getting Social Security disability, because Social Security provides that income information to IRS, even if those recipients aren't required to file a tax return, they don't have to do anything. And if I can, I just want to make a point. There are other populations of lower income Americans. I would include those who are surviving on SSI, the homeless, who are not dependents of any other individuals, but who have a Social Security number. The IRS is now beginning an effort to reach out, working with partners, to the most economically vulnerable Americans who we don't have information on, to work out a way so that they can get these payments. But for your question, for somebody getting Social Security, they don't have to do anything. That money should come directly into their bank account.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Senator Hughes, Peter,
yes.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good evening, Linda. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye. Good night.
All right. Hugh, we got somebody on unemployment conversation?
Yeah, we have several questions on unemployment. We're going to go to Monica. Monica, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hello, Senator Hughes. This is Monica Taylor. How are you?
How's Monica Taylor? How's Monica? How you doing, Monica?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Hello, guests. I appreciate you taking time at this late hour to answer our questions.
Sure.
So my question is concerning unemployment. I did not work in some of 2017, some of 2018, based on taking care of very sick family members who are now deceased. I am currently a substitute teacher, and I did file for my unemployment. However, I was denied because they said in those quarters I did not have enough earnings. What do I qualify for? Do I qualify for anything at this point?
Secretary, I think that one is yours. What you got, sir?
Thank you, Monica. Well, I'm going to ask the smart person with me, Susan, to answer that. Susan, can you help out Monica?
Sure can. Thank you very much. So, Monica, what the issue is, of course, is that you don't have all of the amount in your base year that you need. So what we're doing, there's a new federal program called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, otherwise known as PUA. And what we are doing is we're working with a third-party vendor to get a system up and running to handle the PUA claims. So it's actually being tested now, and we expect to have it up and running any day. So when that comes around, what we're going to do is we're going to put the link on our website to the new system, and we'll send instructions and say, you know, if you fall into one of these categories, this is the claim that you want to file. And so one of those will be, if you don't financially qualify for regular unemployment, you're going to want to file for the PUA claim, and then you should be eligible for that.
Okay, and could you spell that for me? Because I'm going to also share this information out with neighbors.
Good.
Sure. And actually, our website, I'll give you, is www.uc, www.pa.gov.
All right, great.
And we will have some sort of a banner there. We're creating it now. Banner there to say, file for your PUA benefits here. It's PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. And so you'll be able to just go to www.uc.pa.gov and be able to get to the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance link.
Thank you so very much, because there are a lot of people who are asking me this question. I said, I'm going to be on the call tonight. I'll ask for myself and for others. And then there is one other question for the IRS. People who are getting the stimulus check, direct deposit, some of their accounts have been closed due to fraudulent activity. They have a new account. It's hit the old account. What do they need to do?
Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, now normally if the Treasury Department, which is the one doing, based on information we provide, sending the stimulus payment to a bank account, if that bank account has been closed, the payment will not be deposited into a closed bank account. So for that individual, and this comes back to the earlier question, if you have filed a 2018 and 2019 return, and we don't have your current bank account information, you can use the new Get My Payment tool and go in, and after you authenticate yourself, update with your bank account information, your routing number for the bank, the account number, and the type of account. So you might want to give that a shot next week to see if you can update with your bank account information so that you'll get the stimulus payment, assuming you meet all the other requirements, a little bit quicker than the paper check in coming months.
Right, because one person, hers hit yesterday, but the account, it showed that it was deposited, but that bank account has been closed. So she doesn't need to contact the bank or the IRS. She just goes on to that site and fill update her information.
Yeah, and if she didn't do anything and the payment essentially flip back to the Treasury, she would eventually get a paper check, but she has the possibility of accelerating getting her money by going in and updating her account with her current bank account information.
Okay, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much.
All right, Monica. I appreciate you too, Monica. Thank you. Who you got next, man?
We're going to go to Kelly next. Kelly, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, good evening, Senator V. It's Coach Kelly Dupree, man.
How you doing, Cap?
Good. Everything's good. Two questions. First question, sounded like it was almost answered. SSI, for folks who want the SSI, I work with the youth and I work with the elderly, too. Since they're not required to file income tax for 18 or 19, I know WARP we had a meeting and they was trying to explain to us they worked hard they could be eligible for that. So is that true? And my second question is SBA, are nonprofits eligible for that, the jail payment loan?
For a nonprofit. Okay, let's start with the SSI question. Richard, I think that's you first and then we'll go to Rob.
Yes, it is, Senator. So the SSI recipients, again, as long as they have a valid Social Security number and are a U.S. citizen or permanent resident, they are and not a dependent of anybody else. They are eligible for $1,200. And this might surprise you, if that SSI recipient had family members who were qualified children for dependents, meaning they were under the age of 17, they potentially could get an additional $500. But what they have to do, because they don't have a filing requirement, if their only income is supplemental security income or SSI, they can do one of two things. As you noted, they could go to a volunteer tax site such as those run by the AARP. I know in the city of Philadelphia, and they may be temporarily closed now, but there's a consortium of nonprofits that works with the city called the Campaign for Working Families.
Yep.
And they run volunteer income tax sites, they may be gearing up to assist those individuals who don't have a filing requirement to file essentially a zero-based return using our new online platform called Non-Filers Enter Payment Info Here. It's a little complicated. I don't want to tell you otherwise, but it is possible. And those are the individuals who the IRS is very concerned about over the coming months, that they do come forward and file basically a zero return because they don't have any taxable income so that they can get these monies. So you might want to continue to work with an AARP partner or a volunteer income tax assistance partner such as the Campaign for Working Families.
So Kelly, before we turn you over to Rob about that business piece, our office works very closely with the Campaign for Working Families, very closely.
Okay.
In fact, they were going to be one of the guests tonight, but I figured I couldn't get any more guests after the five that I already have on the line. I didn't want to overload so much, but we work very closely with Campaign for Working Families. And you can call our office, and we'll put a direct connect in with you with those folks.
Okay, no doubt.
And they're the best. Rob, what are your thoughts about Kelly's question around that nonprofit and the SBA?
So I have to admit, I got knocked off the call and had to dial back in.
Okay.
Oh, you're getting push-ups, man. Give him push-ups.
Yeah.
Kelly, can you repeat your question about the nonprofit and the SBA?
All right, SBA. All right, are nonprofits eligible to apply for the SBA no interest loans? Do they consider that, or do you have to be an LLC or a sole proprietor?
So none of these loans from SBA are no interest loans. There's some different terms that are involved with that. The payroll protection program can essentially waive having it get paid back, but you have but any part of it that isn't used, any piece of that doesn't meet the 75% that's used for other business expenses, has to be paid back within like 2 years. It's a very low interest rate. It's like 1%, And the plan obviously would be for a business owner to go into this with the plan of putting 75% of that into payroll, using the other 25% for working capital or whatever. But the question that you're asking is, are nonprofits eligible?
Yes.
And the answer to that is kind of twofold. The first is that if you're talking about the economic injury disaster loan, that is there are types of nonprofits that are eligible for that. For the payroll protection plan, there are also certain nonprofits, basically any 501c tends to be considered as part of that.
Okay.
There's even a broader range of nonprofits that are eligible for the EIDL loan.
Okay. So how do we distinguish which category we select to apply for? That matters, right?
So you mean, how do you pick between the EIDL and the PPP?
Yes.
Okay. So what I would do is I would look at the terms of those. So I was saying earlier, the PPP has like a 1% interest rate, but you got to have it paid back in 2 years unless you use 75% of it for payroll. On the other side of it is the economic injury disaster loan, which has a 3.75% interest rate, but you have 30 years to pay it back.
Okay, yeah, that's the one we're looking for there, the 30 years. Okay. Thanks for everything, man. I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all doing a hell of a job, man.
So, Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Kelly. I like that 30-year note. I hear that.
You're welcome on 30 years, baby. I'll see y'all later.
Take care now. Take care. Thank you. Oh, boy. Hugh, who else we got, man?
Well, we're gonna go to Mr. Crawford next. Mr. Crawford, you're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Yeah. How you doing, Senator Hughes and the panel?
Doing great.
All right. My question was, you know, concerning employment and unemployment benefit. All right. One of my jobs is a job this season where we work for 7 months and we off for five.
Mm-hmm.
So right now is the season for us to be on, but with the virus and everything going on, that we've been held up. But
right.
Finances and stuff is essential. You know, finances at this time of the year, you know, to support and run a household.
Right.
So, I haven't filed for unemployment, yet. But you know, resources is running thin, and I was just wondering, like, you know, from anybody that's in the unemployment, you know, department, to probably help me out on my benefits for unemployment. You know, right now I just want to know, can they be deferred where I can actually file for unemployment now? All those I've been out of work, I mean, on that particular job for the last four and a half.
Brian Crawford, let me ask the secretary. Jerry, what do you have for Mr. Crawford?
Well, if I'm understanding the question, he's unemployed. He's been unemployed for a while but hasn't applied yet. He can still apply if he's, particularly if it's in the as a result of the COVID-19, if he's lost any kind of work for COVID-19, he can apply. And if it's within the time period, and Susan can help with this, it will be he will get back benefits moving forward. Susan, can you add to that?
Sure. Yeah. If he qualifies for a regular unemployment claim, he can file it anytime he'd like. Using the website, as we mentioned earlier, is generally the best way. So right now we have a federal program. We have two federal programs coming. One of them is going to be a 13-week extension of regular unemployment. So if you're used to having an unemployment claim every year and you're used to it being anywhere from 18 to 26 weeks long, there's going to be an extra 13 tacked on to the end of that right now because of the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, which is part of the CARES Act. So that would be if you qualify for a regular claim. If you didn't have enough wages or you didn't qualify for a regular claim, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, which we did mention earlier, the PUA program will be up and running shortly. And that is a maximum of 39 weeks that someone can claim on the PUA program. So depending on your situation, and it sounds like if you do seasonal work and you do it every year, you probably will qualify for a regular unemployment claim. That would be what you file. As soon as you're ready, you can go file the application. And then right now we also have those additional $600 payments that go out on top of regular unemployment payments. They also go out on top of the PUA payments as well. So it doesn't matter what unemployment program you're on, you'll still get the additional $600 whenever you file for your weeks and get your other payments.
But the most important thing, Susan and Jerry, for Mr. Crawford, I think, is to get in there and start that filing. Get that filing going. And the system will provide you some direction in terms of how to go. Would that be correct, Secretary?
That would be correct, particularly if it's what we call a clean claim that pretty straightforward, then it would be, that's the way to go.
Yeah. So, Brother Crawford, just get in there and start filing. And obviously, if you or anyone has any problems or issues in the process, all you have to do is give our office a call, and we'll take you down personally and work through your situation personally and try to get you squared away. But get it filed. File. Do not sit on the sidelines waiting for the perfect answer. File. Because we want to make sure that you're in the system, that your thing is going. your application is going, no matter which program that we're talking about. It could be the coronavirus economic impact checks. It could be the any of the loan programs. It could be the UC stuff. It could be city, state, or federal programs. The important thing is to get in the game and file, and we'll work with you to try to get all of these issues worked out. Hugh, we have another caller?
Yeah, before we go to the caller, Senator, we've had a lot of questions submitted as well. So I did want to get one question here because it's interesting. I wanted to see if Karen could answer this question. This question comes from Patty, and the question is this. Will the city be giving any assistance for small business?
Karen Fegley?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, Patty. So the city has the city just ran a business relief fund program. All I can say about that is the deadline for those applications actually ended last night, and we are making grant awards to very small businesses. We intend to award probably about 1,000 businesses with some small dollars. This is just, we're trying to get out quick small relief to small business owners. Beyond that, we are keeping a list of different resources. There are a number of local organizations that are providing assistance and filling out applications. There are a number of state and federal resources and a number of private entities that are creating different programs. And those are all listed on the city's website, soa.gov. And you can also call our business services line at 215-683-2100 or email business@phila.gov. Those business services numbers are available anytime for any question for Philadelphia businesses.
Karen? Hey. Karen, I want to tell you something.
Yes,
Karen? That phone number for business services at the Department of Commerce has been the same phone number for 34 years. I just want you to know that, okay?
Well, you're dating yourself there, Senator, but I'm with you. But there's intention there, right? We're trying.
That's right. That you don't get lost. I'm telling you. Right. I'm sorry, Hugh. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank Patty for the question and Senator. That's 34 years. I'm glad you know that because that dates me as well. So I'm in good shape with that. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, good evening, Senator Hughes. Thank you and your distinguished guests for taking this call at the late hour. I know you all are very busy helping us in Philadelphia. But my question is, I'm very blessed. I am getting the unemployment check now, but I'm not getting the CARES part of it. And I wanted to know exactly when that will kick in, the extra $600, because I've been hearing things, but I haven't got any kind of date or any information on when that will start being issued out.
Susan, I know you have those dates, and the check started this week. So if you will be getting them. Susan, can you explain it maybe in more detail?
Yes, I'm assuming we're talking about the $600 payments that go on top of your regular payments.
Right, the CARES Act, yes, that part.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, sure. And it is paid a little differently than regular benefits, so it has been confusing people just because we got the program started last week. So the money is payable on weeks ending April 4th and later. It's going to go through July 25th. So it did not start right when the pandemic started mid-March. April 4th is the first payable one. So for anyone who filed their weeks on April 5th, it was their time for their biweekly filing. They filed on April 5th, and April 4th was one of the weeks that they filed for. They then received that payment just for 1 week because April 4th was the only payable one, and they would have received it about a week after their regular UC payment. So it's not coming at the same time or necessarily a day or two later. It's about a week later. So if you are filing, Thursday. If you're filing this coming Sunday and you're filing for the weeks ending 4-11, and I guess, let's see, today's the 16th, 17th, 18th. So that's the 18th. Then what happens is you'll file Sunday, you'll get your regular payments Wednesday, and then the payments for those 2 weeks are going to be made about a week later, Tuesday or Wednesday the following week.
All right, so I should be able to get
confusing.
That. Okay, so I should be able to get that actually next week because I filed and I've been getting I've been filing. I've got two. I get money every biweekly. This is my second payment I receive for unemployment, and I filed since March the 15th. That's the date that I filed for my unemployment. So I've got. So if I understand you correctly, I should get some compensation on the next week, which would be the following week, not this week, but next week.
Right, and it actually turns out that you're going to end up getting money then once a week, even though you're only filing once every other week. The money's actually going to come in pretty much every Wednesday, you know, for those people who file Sunday, and that's most people that prefer to file on Sunday.
Okay.
You'll get your regular payments on Wednesday, and then you'll get your $2,600 payments the following Wednesday. They'll show up.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and thank you again, Senator Hughes. I really appreciate this time.
Appreciate you, Mike. Appreciate you. Folks,
Mike,
go ahead, Hugh. I was going to
Go ahead, Senator. Nope, go ahead.
I just want to, it is now 9:27. We have tons of callers on the line, but we've got to get off here in the next couple of minutes. What I just want to do is make sure that folks understand we will be getting to everyone because we make a list of all of the callers and try to respond to as many of these questions as possible. I think I'm on safe ground there. Am I right, Hugh?
You are absolutely on safe ground. That's correct.
Very good. Very good. So I know it's late, and our guests have been up late as well and starting early, and I know each one of them have an early start tomorrow morning. So I just want to thank Karen Lockhart-Stagley. She is the Deputy Secretary of Commerce for Neighborhood Business Services for the City of Philadelphia. Karen, what is the website and the phone number that you want folks to have? What is the website and the phone number that you want folks to have?
You can get all of our business info on the city's website, which is www.phila.gov.
Okay.
And then look for the business info. And again, that business services line is available by phone anytime, 215-683-2100. We have people answering the phone all day, and then you can leave a message at night. And there's also an email, business@phila.gov.
And it's important for folks, I don't want folks to think that these stories about money has run out and programs have run out and things of that nature, I don't want them to think that, well, you know, what's the point? Why should I call anybody? Why should I call Karen and all her people or any of these other folks? Put your calls in. The city has, and the state and the federal government have all kinds of programs set up to help folks. And in fact, hopefully, we'll be creating more stuff as we continue to deal with the economic fallout of the coronavirus. We need to make sure that you're in the system, that you're in the loop with any one of these programs. So thank you, Karen, for hanging with us this evening. Secretary Alexiak, Jerry Alexiak, the Secretary of Labor and Industry at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, what's the website and what's the phone number or anything that you want folks to make sure that they have?
I want to give you two websites, Senator, uc.pa.gov, UC for unemployment compensation, uc.pa.gov. And when you go to those links, when you go to that website, we're recommending to go there. Don't call unless you really need to, because there's all kinds of frequently asked questions there that will answer maybe a lot of the questions we weren't able to get to tonight. The other website I would suggest is the governor's website, Governor. .pa.gov, governor.pa.gov. When you go to that website, there's a banner there to learn more about what's available for the folks who need help during this pandemic, and it will take you to links for individuals that may need help with loan payments, mortgage, credit cards, food assistance. There's a whole range of available for people there. So
I would start with those two websites, and we want to do all we can to help our fellow citizens.
That's great. Secretary, thank you so much. Susan, thank you very much as well. Appreciate you hanging on there. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Rob from the Small Business Administration, Rob Gozer from the SBA, what's that last message and most important to that website or phone number that you want folks to have?
So I'm going to give you the main website because right on the front of it is a big button you can push for everything that's related to coronavirus. It's www.sba.gov, short and sweet. The one thing that I'm probably the last guy in the world anybody should ask for advice, but I keep getting asked for advice, and asked what's going to happen next.
Right.
And I would say the best advice is to stay calm and follow the CDC, the state, the city's guidelines. Reach out to these resources. You know, if you're a small business owner and you expect to be financially impacted, the best thing you can do is be proactive in contacting your bank, your lender, your supplier to determine what you can do to mitigate the impact. And everybody asks me what's going to happen next, and I don't have a crystal ball, but you know, and none of us can predict the future. But SBA, our partner federal agencies, the state and local government are all working together to protect public health and the future of small business, and helping folks through periods of unemployment. SBA's priority, obviously, is to ensure small businesses are able to get back up and running and continue their contributions to the economy. But the one thing that I do know is that we're going to get through this,
mm-hmm.
and that's the one piece of advice I can give you is to have faith.
Have faith. That's a good point, Rob. It's a good point. Good point. And again, apply, people, apply, get in the system. There needs to be more stuff that at every level to get done to help people heal financially from this situation. But if we don't see, if folks are not in the queue, if you will, if folks not applying, if folks are not pushing, if folks not making sure that people understand the level of help that they need or how bad this problem has been, then we can't create the systems and the programs to respond to them. So we need you to get in the loop. We need you to apply. We need you to get in the game and express what your thoughts are. Rob, thanks so very much for being a part of the conversation this evening and getting this good information out. Richard, what's that good website? Richard Furlong from the IRS. What's that good website that you want folks to know and people to respond to?
Well, Senator, it is short and sweet. If you go to www.irs.gov, you will get to our homepage, and then on the left-hand side, about halfway down, you'll see a link to economic impact payments. There's a picture of $100 bills there. Click on that, and that will take you to all the information you need for the portal, the Get My Payment Information. For those non-filers, as I said, who are very low income, such as SSI, there's information that they can enter there if they want to create a $0 amount return. So all of it is there. We have on that page, there's an economic impact payments information center that you can link over to with more detailed FAQs on this topic. So all of that information has gone up this week and will reside on the economic impact page for the balance of the year, Senator. So again, thank you for inviting me to participate this evening.
Richard, thank you so much. We appreciate you putting in those extra long hours to answer these questions. We still have tons of people on hold, really holding in, and it is 9:35 in the evening, and it's time for people to get in bed. So that should tell everyone the level of interest that people have and how they want to try to get some real information for some very real important questions. Dr. Posse, come on, you're going to finish this up. What's that? I know you want us to wash our hands. I know you want us to maintain social distancing. What is that thing that you want folks to know?
Absolutely, Senator. Wash hands, social distance. If you have to go out, If you are an essential worker, if you need to access essential business such as the grocery store, please wear a mask in public. This not only protects you but protects others. When you get home, again, wash your hands and avoid touching your mouth. Now, if you have symptoms, the most important thing that I can convey to you, or if you have any concerns about your health, is call your provider. There's always someone that's available, whether a nurse, nurse practitioner, or the physician directly, that can walk you through your symptoms and see whether or not you need to be evaluated. So please, please, please call your provider. And then in terms of that website, if you want information, we've said it a few times, I also recommend going to the City of Philadelphia, phila.gov, phila.gov/COVID-19. It will take you straight to the COVID-19 page that is managed by the Department of Public Health here in Philadelphia. It will give you information on COVID symptoms, and there's also a phone number where you can talk to a healthcare professional. If you do not have a regular primary care physician, you can call this number and they can answer questions for you as well.
And that is an important point, Doctor, because the City of Philadelphia has established an 800 number that can just about answer anything as it relates to the coronavirus. That number is 800-722-7112, 800-722-7112. And again, we always recommend that folks get on the City of Philadelphia text alert program, the coronavirus text alert program. If you go to COVIDPHIL, COVIDPHL, and dial 888-777, you'll automatically get linked into the text alert program that the City of Philadelphia has put together. I want to thank all of our guests. Thank everybody for participating. I want to thank everyone who called. Again, if you've got some additional questions, call our office, 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777, or go to senatorhughes.com, senatorhughes.com. We've got a ton of information as it relates to the coronavirus and everything else that we're dealing with that we're working on. I want to thank again everybody. Appreciate you all. Hugh, what's the last remarks you got, sir?
Well, I just wanted to remind everybody, Senator, if they call your office, it's 215-879-7777.
Who should they ask for?
Should they ask for Tiffany Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. So ask for Tiffany Wilson if you're calling the Senator's office. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question tonight and you're still on the line, please remain there. You'll be able to leave a question for Senator Hughes and Tiffany and his staff, and they'll be able to get back with you. Again, if you have a question, Senator Hughes' office number is 215-879-7777, where his website is senatorhughes.com. Senator, it's a wonderful audience tonight, tremendous discussion, and I wish everybody a pleasant evening.
Be safe, everyone. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you. Thanks to our guests. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.